Home Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
It is a great day, and I am excited that you are here celebrating with me a very important milestone in my life. So thank you, friends, for coming along, and I guess it'd be a good thing to tell you what we're celebrating. We are celebrating my graduation from the University of Notre Dame, where for the last 2 years I've been studying to earn my master's in business administration. So thank you for many of you have tweeted me along the way and said, go girl, and hope you survive accounting, finance, and all the rest. And so I did it. I did it this morning, and I did it yesterday in a diploma ceremony yesterday. So thank you for everyone for your support and calling it out to me. And woohoo! I now am, I've now got my master's. It was something that was on my bucket list, and I never honestly thought I would achieve it. And then one day I woke up and I said, I'm just going to see if I apply, if I get in. And then I applied and I got in and I was like, oh, crud, now I have to go. Well, little known to myself, my son had also applied. So the two of us actually graduated from University of Notre Dame today. So woohoo, that's two children out of college. And boy, does that feel good. So we got one more graduation this month. And if you're out there celebrating graduations, I want to congratulate you, because I got to tell you, as a mom, there are a lot of nights when you stay awake thinking, how in the world am I going to get my kid through high school? How am I going to get them through college? How am I going to pay for it? And it just feels so good when it's done. In fact, this morning I was thinking to myself, okay, what's next? Like, when does it stop for a mom? When does it truly, honestly stop for a mom? And I'm not really sure that I know the answer, even at this stage of my life. So thank you, everybody, for rooting me on. And thank you for sharing this really special day for me. And we have a great show lined up for you. Talk about support. We are supported by the generosity of Pre-Mama. Drinkpremama.com is the website. You can go there for infertility, for lactation, and for your prenatal nutrition. They have product that you actually, you don't have to swallow any horse pills. It goes right into your beverage, and it's tasteless, flavorless, and gives you all the nutrients that you need. So check it out at drinkpremama.com. You can also find them at CVS, Target, Amazon, and specialty stores. We have a really awesome show lined up for you today. We're going to be joined by Kate Power from Down Under. Yes, we are going to travel all the way to Australia during this hour to bring you the very, very, let me tell you, we uncover every rock on earth to find the best experts to bring you on Mom Talk Radio. So we got a really huge show for you today. I'm appreciative that you are joining us. And when we return, we've got Kate Powers from Down Under.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
I'm delighted to have with us, all the way from Australia, Kate Power. She is a mother of three, and she was a NSW police officer for many years, where she saw some of the worst sides of life. By far, the most disturbing was incidents involving harm to children. And she is a magic illustrator, and her experience in criminology and psychology and teaching are now all coming together in her new book, My Underpants Rule. And she's joining us, got up really early or stayed up really late to be with us here in the United States. So welcome, Kate, to Mom Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, and we are excited to have you. So you had three kids, you're a police officer, you saw a lot of bad stuff. Tell us about your new book and how that was all impacted.
Well, my new book is called My Underpants Rule. So it's a the fun, easy way to teach kids how to protect their private parts. And it's really for everyday parents, carers and educators because it's really simple, really effective, and believe it or not, kids love it. I get this constant feedback how much they love the book. So as a police officer, I found out how common, unfortunately, child sexual assault is, and I wouldn't have known this unless I'd been in the police, but the estimates are that 1 in 5 kids in America are estimated to be sexually assaulted by the time they're 18.
Wow, so
that's quite horrifying.
And a lot of times, wow. those are people that they know, right, Kate?
Well, actually, 90% of all cases is when the offender has a close relationship to the child. And because we mostly think of offenders as being scary people in cars and behind bushes ready to abduct kids, but that's just not the case at all. And it happens in all communities. It doesn't matter about your background, your social standing, how much money you have. It's everywhere. And the other thing that shocked me as a police officer was that over a third of the offenders are actually other kids themselves. So kids are really vulnerable, but we just don't talk about it. People just have no idea what's happening.
Wow. So how can, what can parents do?
Well, what I realized as a parent myself, that it's actually a really tricky conversation to have with your kids. And so that was actually one of my big motivations for making Mind a Pantry, to make a really fun, really approachable book that made it really easy for parents. So the book, the cornerstone of the book is a rhyme that kids actually learn. It's called the underpants rule. So I have to tell you the rule now so everyone knows what we're talking about. So what's under my pants belongs only to me, and others can't touch there or ask me to see. But say grown-up or doctor, when I'm not healthy, what's under my pants belongs only to me. And if this rule's broken, I can run, kick or scream. Yes, it's really okay if I make a big scene. My underpants rule has been broken, you see. What's under my pants belongs only to me. So kids are actually encouraged to say part of this rhyme, or most of them actually pick it up really quickly because they're really engaged in the book. It's quite amazing how fast they pick it up. And the book deals with a really serious topic, but it doesn't go into the darkness of the offence, and it keeps it really light. There's a superhero theme and really bright, colourful illustrations and some child-friendly humour in there. So you actually hear kids laughing when they read it.
Wow, it's so cute and definitely gives them a lot of guidelines and I guess guidelines to what's good and what's bad. So, what kind of feedback have you gotten from parents?
Well, we try and connect with as many people we can, and the first thing that I get is how much kids like this book. That they want to read it for their bedtime story. So that's quite unusual considering the topic. But it's just the way it's built on elements of effective learning. So it really engages the kid. The other feedback is from parents is, oh, thank goodness. I know that my kids need to know this. And now I've been able to approach and teach my kids really easily without scaring them. So that's the other feedback. We've had some other amazing feedback that parents have found it really easy for to teach autistic children. And the other thing that I was really shocked about was mentally disabled adults. It's been really beneficial for many of them. They seem to connect with the book as well because they're really vulnerable, that part of the society, yeah.
And so what age would you say the book is meant for?
The book is recommended between 3 and 8 years, and I get a lot of people saying to me, oh, wow, that's really early to be teaching kids about this. But unfortunately, between 3 and 8 years is the most vulnerable age that kids can be assaulted, and they actually need protection there, and it doesn't have to be hard. So that's why we made the book. You just need to read it like an everyday storybook once or twice a month. And they'll learn how to protect their private parts just in a really fun, easy way.
And so, Kate, where do parents go to find the book?
It's available online from Amazon, so that makes it really easy. But you can also get it from our website, which is mindofparentsrule.com, mindofparentsrule.com. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more information, and you can always get in contact with me via that website as well.
So I want to deviate a little bit from the book for a second, because it's not often that we get to chat with a mom from the down under. And you have three children. I was just wondering, like, what are the hot topics and the biggest concerns for moms in Australia right now, besides, you know, the topic we've just been talking about?
Well, this is a hot topic, but the other one is very much about computers and safety on computers. Mm-hmm. And because there are so, most of our kids, and I'm assuming in America, we all have phones, mobile phones, and access to the internet. And we're seeing more and more that kids are really vulnerable on the internet, and trying to teach them safety to be in control and not to disclose things. So that is one of the major concerns. How is that in America? Is that a hot topic as well?
Yes, it is. It is. And so the good thing is that we've just confirmed that all moms think alike, and we all are concerned about the same things no matter where we are in the world. So, Kate, thank you so much for joining us, and you can go to bed now. And we will have a link to myunderpantsrule.com on Mom Talk Radio. So pick it up. And or go online and get a copy, because I know that I'm going to buy it for my nieces just as a special gift, just for no reason except to keep them safe. So thank you, Kate, so much for joining us from Australia. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to an American mom who's in the spotlight with us today on our Spotlight on Moms. I am happy to have on the show today Christina Shirley. She is the founder of MomsMessyMiracles.com, a wonderful website and blog that you will enjoy. She's a mom of two, and you can find her on Twitter at MyMessyMiracles. And I'd like to welcome Christina to Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Maria.
Your blog, it's very, very interesting. And one of the things that you talk about messes, and when you think about messes, you think about cooking, but you actually like cooking with your children. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Cooking with your kids can be extremely stressful because, I mean, they do make messes. But I'm teaching my boys valuable life skills here. I want them to be able to make their own food, able to make their wives' food someday. Yeah. You know, you just got to roll with it, and if they make a mess, well, now they learn how to clean, too.
That's right. So how old are your two children?
My oldest just turned 5, and my little one is 2.5. They're both boys.
So, okay, so they're boys and they're young.
Yes,
so what kind of things do you cook? What kind of things do you cook with them?
Usually we try for things that don't necessarily require a strict recipe. One of my favorite things that my oldest likes to make is any kind of wrap, you know, that he can pile whatever he wants on it and just put it together however he wants. There's no wrong way to do it.
So what's his favorite wrap?
Peanut butter and whatever else he can find in the fridge. It's up to him. Sometimes it's peanut butter and pepperoni.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. So one of the things that you do on your blog, and in addition to talking about cooking with kids, but you share recipes and you also talk a lot about family travel. So what is your favorite place to travel to?
We love the beach. Anywhere we can go to the beach. Back in October, we went to Turks and Caicos, and that is all that my 5-year-old talks about is going back to the beach.
You know, a lot of people, they don't travel with their kids because they are waiting for them to be old enough. So what is your best travel tip?
Go now. just go. You can always wait until they're older, but I mean, you just, like I said with the cooking, you just roll with it. I mean, we've had meltdowns on vacation, but at the end of the day, they are little kids and they're going to have fun, and you do what they want to do while you're there and just make it fun.
And so when you're traveling by airplane, what do you, like, how do you manage them? Like, how do you keep them entertained on the plane?
Oh gosh. We bring everything and anything. For my oldest, we bring Legos in a little container. We bring our Elite pads. We bring coloring books, crayons, pre-download any movies on the iPad. We just have it all.
Wow, that's I remember when I was traveling with when my kids, I used to do something that was probably quite terrible, but I would get those little party size containers of Play-Doh and I would let them play with it on the plane, because if it fell on the floor, I didn't have to worry about it being my carpet that the Play-Doh was getting ground into. I mean, I tried to clean it up afterwards, but when you get those little party sizes that you can get like at the party superstore or whatever, then they basically can just open it. If it gets lost, if it gets dirty, whatever, if it falls on the dirty airplane floor, then you just throw it out and you always have another container, another color, and you don't really care. I also used to go to the dollar store and I would buy like a whole bunch of dollar toys, and like in the stressful moments, just pull out a new toy, because if they're only a dollar, I would think to myself, Christina, that like, okay, it's $1 just bought me 15 minutes of peace and quiet on the airplane. You know what I mean? So like,
exactly,
when I equated it that it was a dollar for peace of mind, it didn't seem so expensive.
Nope. And it's something new. So, they always love something new.
That's right. So I just want to remind everyone, you can find Christina and her blog at momsmessymiracles.com. Really great blog. You want to check it out, momsmessymiracles.com. And Christina, thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope you and your family have some great summer vacations and travels lined up. So thanks so much for spending some of your day with us today on Mom Talk Radio. I want to remind you guys that we have a whole bunch more coming your way. In fact, when we return, we're going to be talking with the Associate Director of the Clay Center for Young Healthy Minds at Massachusetts General Hospital, which, as you know, is one of the best children's hospitals in the United States. So you'll definitely want to listen to Dr. Steve Schausman.
You succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
We are joined today by Dr. Steve Schausman, who is the Associate Director of the Clay Center for Young Healthy Minds at Massachusetts General Hospital. He has gone to some of the most prestigious schools in the United States, including Harvard Medical School and Dartmouth Brown Program in Medicine and Stanford. He's just really, really smart and a lot smarter than Hugh Jackman and as good looking, I assume. But he's here to talk to us a little bit about the school year winding down and what we need to be thinking about for the summer and even overnight summer camp. So welcome, Dr. Schausman, to Mom Talk Radio.
Oh, thanks so much for that very mom-like introduction, actually. It was great.
Yeah, well,
you.
You know, I wear the title well. So
right.
I always say that I actually start talking about the end of the school year come January, because we forget as moms that it takes as much effort to get our kids out of school as it does to get them back into school come August and September. And I love the fact that you talk a lot about those things that are happening now as we're winding down with our children. So Let's first talk about summer camp, because whether they're sleeping away or they're just going for the first time, there's consideration. So do you want to talk a little bit about summer camp?
Sure, sure. And I think what you said is a, you know, so true, which we all know. We if we don't let it sneak up on us, which a lot of us tend to do because life gets really frenzied, you got to start in January. There's just a lot going on with school. But then the summer's, I think, actually even harder to plan for a bunch of reasons. One is you've got usually one school that you can go to, or one or two schools or whatever, but the camp choices are endless. And if the desire of you or of your kids, and hopefully both, is to have them go to camp, whether it's a sleepaway camp or a day camp, you got to find a good one. So that by itself is pretty anxiety provoking for parents as well as for kids. And even though I'm a psychiatrist, I see kids who come with their own challenges. Even among my friends and in my own family, we find this anxiety provoking even in the absence of those challenges that people come see me in the office for.
So do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing to for the phone calls? I mean, because there's a lot of debate on whether or not you should just let your kid go cold turkey for 2 weeks or without talking to you. I mean, what's the right thing to do? Is it just letters? Is it let them work through it on their own? Is it to take advantage of the once a week call?
Well, that's the $10 million question right now, which is obviously a more complicated question in the era of cell phones. So, you know, when I was in camp, Hazard, when you were in camp, we wrote letters. They were wonderfully right. Detailed, like today I went canoeing, but they were still letters. I think what you have to do is follow the culture of the camp, because what kids care about most is not veering from their peers, especially mm-hmm. at the age that kids head off to summer camp. So we're talking about sleepaway camps. If the culture of the camp allows a phone call a certain number of days a week, or allows even open communication, then you want to go with that, because you certainly want your kid to be the only one who's not doing that.
Right.
The flip side, if the camp says, look, this is the way we do it, it's worked well, we've stayed in business for a long time, and the kids seem to like it, I would trust them with it. And actually, kids do kind of like it. A lot of the time, kids like the decreased connection and the sense of autonomy that they get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that with my teenager. I noticed it this past weekend where it was okay. Like, she wanted to go through the security by herself at the airport and just meet us at the gate. And I was like, okay, what's the worst thing that could happen? You know, and maybe this is one of those moments where I should let her do that and express that independence and gain that confidence that she could get through security on her own in the Atlanta airport and ride the train and get to Terminal A, you know? So, and it all worked out fine. And I knew we had plenty of time, but you're right. They do like that. Sometimes I think it's more the parent who has the anxiety than the child. What do you think?
That's exactly what I was going to say. So the anxiety you felt at turning your daughter, you know, loose through the security at the airport, which is, as you point out, not a whole lot of bad things can happen in that process, it still is anxiety provoking. We keep a close watch on our kids, maybe even closer than we did a couple generations ago. And it's because the world either is more scary or feels more scary because of the news reports. I think that's when parents need each other and need their friends to tell these stories to, so that they can support each other in giving kids that freedom, because that freedom is really important for development. I can't stress that enough. If those kids are asking for it, you want to let it safely happen. If they're asking, they can go bungee jump without you watching, that's a different story. You're going to probably say
right.
No, and the kind of thing you'd like to learn about after the fact. But other things, I'd give them that freedom. They're stretching their legs in ways that will help them.
And it's such a good lesson. I always say that, like, the hardest part about being a mom is really that letting go thing. But yet we all raise them so that they can be independent and let go. Let me ask you just about depression and feeling blue and such. How do you help your child work through that? And we only have like 2 minutes, but I found that particularly in the summer months when there's separation from their normal routine, that sometimes my kids get a little blue.
Yeah. So kids are creatures of routine, especially certain kinds of kids have a temperament for that. What you want to do is try and create a routine out of the amorphous summer. You don't want to stick too closely to it because then kids feel regimented, but something that's that has plans to it. So at 3 p.m., you will be going to the, this might be a younger kid, you're going to go to the pool. And, you know, dad or I'll be home to do it, or you're going to go with your friend across the street or whatever. But you want to have those things set up and then forecast ahead of time so that they can look towards it and forward to it. It's really jarring for a lot of kids to go from the highly scheduled world of elementary school and middle school and even high school to the very unstructured world of a free summer. It's not such a bad thing to have a free summer, but if those kids get freaked out about it, forecasting what they're going to do when goes a long distance towards helping them.
You can find the good doctor at mghclaycenter.org. And in the last minute, doctor, could you just let everyone know what they would find at that website? Because there's a ton of good, great resources.
Thanks so much for mentioning it. Yeah, so that's the Clay Center. It's something I'm part of. We try as best we can to write in very down-to-earth terms about everything from psychiatric and psychological challenges and disorders to normal development and resilience. And our whole goal is to demystify it. We don't think that it ought to be something that's talked about in kind of medical ease. We think it works better if, since parents know their kids best, if parents can read this stuff, ask us questions if they have them, and come out of it better educated about the kinds of things their kids are going through.
So you don't have to live in Massachusetts to take advantage of those resources, correct?
All you got to do is log on. Nothing costs anything. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to know that you're reading it. It would make our day.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And we have a link to mghclaycenter.org. Thanks so much, doctor, for preparing us for summer camp, that topic I've been talking about since January. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to a ventriloquist who teaches children and adults strategies for dealing with everyday issues. There's a way to get and communicate with your children, and we're going to do it without words.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
I am excited to have with us today Dr. Ilana Ashley. She is an author, an artist, a storyteller, and a ventriloquist who teaches children and adults strategies for dealing with everyday issues. For more than two decades, Ashley has presented instructional and entertaining programs for students, teachers, and parents within the Chicago area and also nationwide. And you can take advantage of everything she has by not only hearing her today on Mom Talk Radio, but also going to her website, which we'll talk about in just a minute. So welcome, Ilana, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much.
So let's talk about bullying and the four major types of bullying, because you do a lot with helping kids cope with those kind of scenarios.
Exactly. Bullying is the use of language and behavior to purposefully, intentionally harm another person. While bullying can be a one-time kind of thing, could be physical, emotional, harm for another person, more often it's a series of events that form an ongoing pattern of harassment. In terms of types of bullying, I mentioned two. Verbal, I call it verbal, emotional bullying, including name-calling, someone saying to someone else, you're fat, you're ugly, you're stupid, insulting, you'll never learn how to do anything, threatening, if you don't do what I tell you to do, you're going to be really sorry.
Who are the kids who are receiving this? Because I think parents would be surprised.
In general, it's children who are different. Different in many different ways. It could be children who have various kinds of disabilities, whether it's mental, physical, emotional. It could be a child who's small or short, maybe somebody who's weak, could be somebody who's overweight, could be somebody certainly who's known to be shy or who is often very quiet and looks like somebody that a bully doesn't think will fight back. But other things that make people different could be everything from the clothes that they're wearing. It could be that the fact they come from a different country, a different religion, a different ethnic background. So a lot of times it's some different feature about a child.
Let's say that our child comes to us and says, hey, mom, you know, I think so-and-so is being bullied. What do we do at that point?
Let's say it's just a emotional verbal form of bullying. And I would start with first, and we're talking about the child being with the parent in the home, so they have some time to think about this and act on it together. The first thing the child should be aware of is that no one has the right to hurt them. With that in mind, a child has the right to say something back to let them know, the bully know, just how he or she feels. So one of the things that I suggest is for a child, and this is for adults too, obviously, to look directly into the eyes of the bully, not blinking the eyes, and saying loud and clear words that tell the bully exactly what you think, exactly how you feel. Simple examples are, stop calling me names, stop using those ugly words, stop saying horrible things about me. Now, usually bullies take advantage, again, I was saying before, of people who they think are weak, quiet, shy, people who are afraid to talk back. By your child saying something loud and clear, it could potentially surprise the bully, and the bully just might step back and move on to someone else that he or she thinks they can take advantage of.
How do you instill in your child the nerve to do that, though?
You know, it ideally really starts very young. Parents really should be raising their children in an environment which is warm, loving, which shows empathy and caring and compassion, because the bully doesn't have empathy for anyone. A bully is wanting to take control, so that it really needs, under the best circumstance, to start when the child is young. Another important area, also in terms of rules that the parents really should be setting up for their children as they're growing up, a sense of right and wrong. And it's going to be based on what's not only in their minds, but in their heart, what they feel is the right kind of way of moving on. Because once the bully goes beyond words and tries to strike out, it's really up to the parent to decide.
It's such a complicated but very, very important topic. And unfortunately, we're out of time and we can't go into it any deeper than this. However, Dr. Ilana has a lot of great resources on her website. The website is drilanaashley.com. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you so much for spending some of your time with us. And moms, you know, don't stand by and watch your child bully. You have to empower them. And I encourage you to check out her website, drilanaashley.com. When we return, we're going to be talking to a journalist, a mother, who is doing pretty amazing things with her writing and her research. So I am joined today by a woman who has done many, many, many things. Her name is Cheryl Harbor. She has researched and written about topics as diverse as nuclear energy, education, logistics, women's leadership. She's about to become a grandmother, and she's turned her attention to the best information available on first year of baby's life, eager to share not only the facts, but the awareness of abundant opportunities for inspiration and transformation. She's joining us today. And we are excited to have her talk about grandparenting. So welcome, Cheryl, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you, Maria. Nice to speak with you.
Well, I have to tell you that I am I am one of those people, I don't know that I'm looking forward to being a grandparent. Maybe I'm just not ready to be a grandparent. My first child is getting married this year, and everybody keeps saying, oh, I bet you can't wait to be a grandparent. I'm like, no, actually, I can. I still have children in my home that I'm raising. But
trust
there's a
me,
lot of things
like that with my
mom's wish. Is that going to change
oldest,
for me?
Pardon me?
Is that going to change for me? Like, I mean, do you suddenly have a desire to be a grandmother?
I think that when you're anticipating the birth of your grandchild, you'll begin to catch that fever. And the reason I wrote the book for the first year is because I have a feeling you'll be like me and you'll want to know everything. You'll be curious about things. And the more you learn, I think that helps with building the excitement.
So what do you need to know as a grandparent that you didn't know when you were raising your own children?
Unless you have a really young child still in your family, I think one of the things you need to know is what has changed since you were raising your own children, and a lot has changed. The book says what's still true, what's new, and what you can do. So although there are some things that haven't changed, there's a lot of new parenting philosophy, there's a lot of new medical science about how the child is developing. So all of those things, I think, just help you to be more engaged in the process and in the experience and just enjoy it more.
So aside from the obvious, which would be technology, what do you think has changed the most?
Well, I think that you are always going to be in relationship with a whole network of people, and at the center of that is the child and the parents. And the parents are collecting information, and they're adopting parenting philosophies. For example, there's something that's very strong these days called attachment parenting. Now, it may pick up pieces of things that were going on when we were mothers, but now there's very strong proponents of some of these things. This baby wearing, where you see people with their wraps and their babies are going everywhere with them. There's a lot of really strong belief in tactile contact with the children. Now know why reading is so important. We might have had an instinct to do that when we were mothers, but now I thought it was really interesting to know that the children that are read to and talked to and sung to actually can arrive at kindergarten with 30,000 more words in their vocabulary.
Wow, that's amazing.
That was pretty interesting.
So one of the things I think about is how the in-laws share the grandchild. What are the rules about that these days?
That's a good one. You've pinpointed that, and it's a lucky family that has two sets of grandparents. Not everybody does. Mm-hmm. But I think the first golden rule is that grandparents make a pact with themselves, and if you have that kind of relationship with your co-grandparent, to be authentically who you are and not be in some kind of competition. Some parents may be more physical than others. Some grandparents may be more physical. Some others may live closer. And it's just a time to remember what this is all about, which is being a positive influence on this child's life, supporting the parents, developing a relationship that will last the whole life. So it really gives you incentive to be a big person, not be little. You know, think bigly, broadly, and remember what the priority is.
Well, there's a ton of issues I know that need to be addressed when you become a grandparent. And this is a really great book, not only for the grandparent-to-be, but also for the mom and the couple having the child. I want to remind you, because we're out of time, unfortunately, that you can find out so much more about Cheryl Harbor at CherylHarbor.com. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. A lot of really great resources there, and we hope that you will check it out. And thank you so much, Cheryl, for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. And thank you for listening and tuning in today as I walk across the stage and graduate from the University of Notre Dame. Thanks for having gone on my journey with me, because it's been a long, hard one, but we made it. We made it together. So thank you, everyone, for joining me today on Mom Talk Radio, and we will see you again next week.